Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Andy. I needed to let you know that we are coming down to the wire on RebateJet.com. What's RebateJet? It's a platform I created for you guys, the small to medium-sized sellers trying to compete against those big brands with those big budgets. Go now to RebateJet.com, sign up for that free seller account before it goes away this month. Now, why do you want to be a part of RebateJet? Just a few things. You can list promo codes for free. You can offer 3 rebates free per day. You can list your products and sell them directly to our customers on our website. We even have a free liquidation marketplace for you to unload products that didn't work out. We also have something else crazy in the works. You guys are going to love it. Go now, RebateJet.com. Now onto the show.
Welcome to the Seller Roundtable e-commerce coaching and business strategies with Andy Arnott and Amy Wiese.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Andy Arnott from SellerSEO.com, and this is a Seller Roundtable Extra, and excited for today. We're going to be going over the top 5 things you can do today, take action on today to improve your Amazon business. You know, some of these you may have heard of before, but I really think it needs to be said over and over again because so many people don't do this. I get contacted every day about like, hey, my sales on Amazon are slow. What's wrong? And usually about 95% of those people, the main issue is their listing is not optimized. What I tell and kind of you know, grind into everybody's mind is that you have to look at your optimized listing as kind of the foundation of your Amazon business. If it's not an optimized or a great listing, then you know, the rest of your business is going to crumble. So that being said, let's go ahead and jump right in. Let me share my screen here. 1 second. All right, if somebody can go ahead and let me know in the comments if you guys can see this, that would be fantastic. I would appreciate that. And, all right. Okay. Yep, 1 second. Always have to pop out the, when you do a share screen, for some reason, Zoom always gets rid of some of the essential items like the chat. All right. All right, guys. I'm assuming that that you guys can all see this. Nick, can you just nod your head if you can see my screen? Perfect. Thank you. All right. So, top 5 things to boost Amazon sales today. We're gonna go ahead and jump right in. And the first one, like I had mentioned, alluded to, is optimize your listing. I'm gonna go through it here, but if you want to reference back to it on the Seller SEO website, we have a blog post to jump to it easily. You can just go tiny.cc/listopt. That's tiny.cc/listopt short for listing optimization. And so that is where you want to go if you want to kind of see this stuff in long form and really dig into how to get your listing optimized. So this is, like I mentioned, one of the most important steps to boost your Amazon sales, like today, like after this is done. If you're going to do anything, go and do that if you haven't done it yet. Even if you think you've optimized your listing, go back and look at it again. We'll talk about competitors and stuff a little bit later. But definitely something you want to look at. Now, you know, of course, some of the essentials, you may have heard this before. You want your title to be, you know, contain at least 2 or 3 important phrases, depending on the category and things like that. You have, you know, different amount of space in that title, but you want to try to fill as much as that title as possible with those at least 2 or 3 important phrases. Now, sometimes if you start filling too many phrases in there, it starts to look spammy. So you just got to get really creative. Some of our videos that we do showing our listing lightning tool, we kind of show you how to be creative. You don't have to use our tool, but that's where you can really watch and look at and see how you can kind of craft a listing around those phrases. Another thing, of course, is photos. You need at least 6 photos, and you want their minimum resolution to be 1,000 by 1,000 pixels. Actually, 1,000 pixels on one side, I believe, is what they recommend. Amazon recommends, but I recommend, you know, I would say either side a minimum of 1,000, just to get a really crisp, clear photo. You want to make sure that it's in focus. It's really clean, crisp. Make sure it's not washed out. Sometimes people have white products or things like that, and they put it on a white background and it just looks washed out. You know, you really want to make sure all those elements are in place. Photos are, you know, probably, if not the most important, one of the most important aspects of your listing. if you're not converting or selling real well, that's, you know, of course, one of the first places you want to look at. Now, some other really quick essentials. Bullet points with at least 200 characters. So, you know, when you do a bullet point for Amazon, you know, a lot of people get lazy. I see this. Bullet points are probably the biggest thing that I see, and also description. But bullet points, at least 200 characters. We recommend 250, as close to 250 characters as possible. But if you can't get to that, at least 200 characters. Within those characters, once again, you want to make sure you have some of your really important phrases. Don't be afraid to repeat like your top 3 to 5 essential phrases in those bullet points. I know in the past, the old way of doing things was like, you can't repeat keywords, you know, only do keywords, not phrases, things like that. That's gone all out the door. Now that Amazon is more relevancy based, you definitely want to be doing things like that. You want a formatted description with at least 1,000 characters. Formatted means in Amazon, you can use a couple of HTML modifiers. So things like bold and paragraph and line space, line break. So if I'll show you here real quick in this thing. So if you want to do a bold, you could say this is bold, and then you close off that tag. Oops, like this. So if you put this in your Amazon listing, this will actually bold the text between these two flags. If you've ever done any type of HTML, this is kind of the basic stuff. So something definitely that you want to take a look at. Now, that's one of the tags you can use. Another tag is the P tag, which is short for paragraph. What that'll do is break up your text into a new paragraph. Same thing with BR, which is a line break. Now, the reason you want to use these is if you don't, what you're going to end up having are listings that are choppy or look, you know, like just a big group of text. So you definitely don't want that type of format. You don't want, you know, a big blob of text that people are going to look at and not see as being, you know, clean or organized. Another thing you want to make sure that you do on your listing, keyword and subject matter keywords filled in. So that's, of course, not appearing on the front of the listing. That's on the back end of the listing. For sure, the keywords, you know, keyword field. Once again, you know, people in the past said don't repeat in the keyword field. If you feel like it's really important, we sometimes do report a repeat in the keyword and subject matter fields. It does seem to affect relevancy. So if you're not, you know, indexing for a keyword and you have it on the front end or vice versa, you might want to add it to the front end if you have it on the back end, or if you have it on the back end and not on the front end, vice versa. So in other words, add the phrase in spots that you don't have it currently if it's not indexing and you feel like it's important. Some products, some categories have extra fields. So on your Amazon listing, on your dashboard, there's a button that says more. I think it's the last tab of the edit products page. Go and look through that. A lot of people never even look at that tab. But the more information you put in there, the better, because when Amazon does filtering, let me show you some filtering here so I can show you what I'm talking about here. Let's see if I can find something that'll filter for me. Let's see, maybe socks. Not sure if that'll filter, but... anyway, this may not filter, but I'm just going to show you this anyway. You can see here on the right side that there's some filters. There's brand filters and fashion filters, but some other products. Let's try Bluetooth headphones. Let's see if we can get any filtering on that. Yeah, okay. So here you can see here. Headphone wireless type, Bluetooth, RF, infrared, NFC. So these are all, these filters are set in your listing. And an easy way to know if your product can be filtered in that way is to do a search for your product and see what filters show up on the side here. Like in this case, if you're selling Bluetooth headphones, you would want to make sure that you'd include Bluetooth, RF, infrared, or NFC if your product has any of these features. Because what happens is when people go to this page and they go, oh, I only want a Bluetooth one, they click there and then it filters products. And if you don't have you know, this flag set in your listing, then your product will be filtered out. So add as much data as possible to that listing so that you show up in more spots on Amazon search. All right, so that's it for, you know, optimize your listing. I could go, you know, I can do, and I have done many hours and sessions on this, but I just kind of want to give you guys kind of five action points to work on today. If you want to go deeper into this, like I said, excuse me, go to tiny.cc/LIST OPT, and that post will give you really step-by-step instructions and really a lot more detailed instructions on how to do this. All right, number two, optimize your PPC. You know, this is another huge thing that we get. We get a lot of people coming to us because they're either losing a ton of money on PPC or they don't know how to do it correctly. So this is definitely something that's, you know, that you really want to concentrate on. So, you know, kind of the basics. Once again, if you go back to past episodes of Seller Roundtable, we've done things like, you know, really gone in depth with how to optimize, how to set up campaigns, doing all of this kind of stuff. But I just want to go over it again really quickly and make sure that you guys are doing just at least the basics. My lovely scroll mouse is jumping all over the place here. So optimize your PPC. So there's a ton of new features that Amazon has rolled out over the last, 4 to 6 months, starting in Q4. So here's something you really need to do if you're not doing it today. You want to make sure you have an auto campaign enabled. And that auto campaign should stay on indefinitely. A lot of people think that you're supposed to like start on an auto campaign, let it run for a couple of weeks and then turn it off. That's not the case at all. You want that auto campaign running, continuously. A lot of people are saying, well, but that auto campaign has an ACoS of like 100%. So in that case, you just leave your campaign running and then you reduce the bid and you continue to reduce that bid, until you get to a point where, you're actually, you know, making money on that, or at least breaking even on that campaign. And the reason you want that campaign to go is because it's going to continually collect new keywords that you haven't thought about that your product's going to convert for. So make sure you have an auto campaign running 24/7, 365. Another one is a manual discovery campaign. What a discovery campaign is it's a manual campaign, but it's a very wide campaign. So you're either using a lot of keywords or you're using broad match keywords. There's two different theories on that. Nowadays you can usually just do a broad campaign and get a decent amount of results. But what I've seen lately is Amazon's not really it's not really targeting broad like it used to. It looks like phrase right now is getting the most impressions. So that's why when we do a discovery campaign, we actually do all match types and quite a few keywords. We start out with a minimum of 100 keywords. And then we go from there and then we start paring down performing keywords. And that goes into step three, set up new part. Step four. We'll go into that in a second. Step three, set up a new product targeting campaign. So this used to be available for only brand registered brands, but now they've rolled it out to the masses. So even if you're not brand registered, you now have access to that product targeting in Amazon. And what we've seen is there's still a lot of sellers not utilizing that targeting. So you can actually get a ton of impressions and sales and clicks from those ads. Now, if you don't know how to set those up, go back once again, like I said, to previous episode. I think it's episode 6 that we talk about really more in depth on how to do PPC. Definitely go back and listen or watch that, and it will really give you a good idea on how to do those things. The new product targeting campaigns, like I said, you're going to get really good ACoS and you're going to get a lot more visibility. Now, something you need to realize is it seems like the volume's not quite there. So in other words, you might only get one or two sales a day from each, ad set, but that really starts to add up. And then just like the rest of the PPC, you want to get rid of ASINs that aren't converting and only keep the ones that are, after a certain threshold. We usually like to see 10 clicks before we reduce bids on stuff that's not converting. But once again, that's go back to our advanced PPC to learn more about that. You want to run search term reports. Usually about once a week is a good way of doing it. And what search term reports will give you is it'll show you all the search terms from your automatic campaigns that are converting. And what you'd want to do then is take those converting keywords and add them to your performing campaign. Now, what a performing campaign is a separate campaign that you break off from your discovery campaigns. And so these are the keywords that you know are converting, and those campaigns are the ones that you're really going to try to tighten the bolts down onto and really get an ACoS that's going to work for you. You know, that's that's where you're going to start making your money on that stuff, is when you're really, you know, you're getting dialed in on those campaigns, and getting money, you know, actually being net positive on your return on ad spend. Now, I talked about, you know, harvesting your search terms and all those things. Now, the other thing you need to do is optimize at least once per week. Generally, Tuesdays are a good day. Because you can, you know, the last week's data is complete by Tuesdays usually. There is like, you know, about a 24-hour delay in Amazon's reporting. So that's a really great time to look at your data. Once again, I'm not going to go too in-depth into how to optimize. We covered that before. But the gist of it is, the basics is, you know, reducing bids on keywords that aren't performing. In other words, not getting you sales. And then increasing bids on keywords that or product targeting where they're converting at a good value. So, you know, if your break-even ACoS, say, is 35% and you have a product target or a keyword target, you know, that you're bidding a dollar on, if your ACoS is that low, you might want to raise that bid to make sure that you get the maximum amount of visibility. So if it's a dollar, you want to go up to like a dollar 50, something like that. Last but not least, day parting. I know that's nuts. I don't really know any other tools doing this. Otherwise I would mention them, but Seller SEO does this. And what it is let me actually see if I can pull it up on this account here. See if there's any way I can show you. What day parting does is it will actually allow you to enable and disable your PPC campaigns during times of day. So in other words, let me show you this screen here real quick on Seller SEO. So right here, as you can see, you know, we've got what's really cool about Seller SEO is you can enable by hour and then start and stop throughout the day. So say on Mondays, you want to start at 8 a.m. and you want to go to 3 p.m., but then you want to stop and then start up again at 7 p.m. to 2100. What's really cool here is once you save the schedule, and you can go down to the campaign level, your campaigns will only show during you know, specific times of the day. Now, a lot of people are asking, you know, why would you want to do something like that? It's actually one of the most effective ways to reduce your ACoS, because generally people are you know, browsing you know, before about 10 a.m. And then same thing with late at night. So what you can do is you can actually go into your reports, and at some point we hope to have this automated for you. It's just going to be quite the task. Is go in and download your order report and put it into an Excel, and then you can actually graph and see you know, time of day and day of week. If you sell enough on Amazon, you have a PPC account manager, they can actually pull that data for you. Unfortunately, you know, it's not available to every seller. If you don't know how to do that, go on to like Fiverr or Upwork or something like that and hire somebody. You could probably do it for like 10 bucks, 20 bucks, something like that. Tell them, hey, you know, here's the report. This is the data that I want. You know, build me an Excel sheet for that, or a script for that, and they'll do it for you. And it's super simple. And like I said, we'll end up having that in the tool here shortly, where you'll be able to import your search term report, and then we'll give you a nice little graph on, like, you know, what times of day are performing best for your campaigns. The other reason why day parting is really effective and great is because, you know, there's been a lot of stories and things like that about you know, Chinese sellers and overseas sellers clicking on your ads throughout the night. And if your ads are turned off, guess what? They can't do it. So it's another really effective way to make sure that you're not spending PPC, you know, clicks, not spending money on clicks that aren't going to actually convert. All right. Step three, copy the competition. This is something a lot of people don't do. And one of the kind of innovators, or one of the people who's always, that's very successful, that always says, you know, copy what's working, is Russell Branson from ClickFunnels. You know, his whole thing is like, why reinvent the wheel? If something's working, just go ahead and copy that and iterate. So, you know, some of the things you want to look at from your top competitors would be like, what, you know, what is their pricing? In other words, if you've got comparable products and your product is $19.99 and theirs is $14.99, you're going to have a really, really hard time, getting traction in that niche. You also want to look at things like, you know, coupons, you know, the on-page coupons. So things like, you know, $2 off, you know, you get the little orange flag. That's great for visibility. We actually have our entire account almost 24/7 has some kind of coupon enabled because of the increased visibility. It's worth it for sales and stuff. What people don't realize, you can do a super small discount, like even 5% off, and you still get that little flag. So visibility wise, it's completely worth it. Look at how many reviews they have. So, you know, once again, if they have like 200 reviews, and you've got three, you know, it you could run into trouble. With the way that reviews work now, I actually do think that three is kind of the magic number if you're just starting out with a new product. You know, you really want to try to get those first three reviews. You know, how do you do that nowadays? That's a whole another discussion, but early reviewer program's a great one. For us, the way that we do it, we kind of hit it from multiple ends. We get, you know, we do coupons, we do aggressive PPC, we do offsite traffic, especially in the first few weeks. That way, you know, we get a lot of volume, and, you know, from that lot of volume, then you get Amazon sending those follow-up emails to get those, you know, first few crucial reviews. So definitely something that that you want to try to do, especially if you got a new product. One of their main keywords, so, you know, using reverse ASIN tools, you know, whatever tools that you use should be able to do this. In Seller SEO, we have Pandora is the tool we have. The reason you want to use a tool like that is because I'm not sure how, you know, some of the other tools are getting their data, but for us, you know, our data is coming direct from Amazon. It's telling you, you know, what these products are, you know, have been converting for, what keywords they've been converting for. So it's really powerful data. It's great to use that data to build PPC campaigns and then also to include in your listings. The other good thing to do is when you're looking at your competitors is look at their negative feedback. So not necessarily, I mean, go ahead and look at their positive feedback as well, but the negative feedback is really what you want to look at. The reason for that is, you know, if you're selling, you know, a water bottle, and it's very similar to this other competitor who's selling a water bottle, and people are complaining that, you know, the lid is leaky, or you know, it's too fat to fit in the cup holder in their car or something like that, you would want to take that data and then bring it over to your product and decide, you know, if this, you know, if people are complaining about their water bottle not fitting into the cup holder, well, I'm going to make sure that my water bottle fits into their cup holders. You know, it's little things like that that people are really going to be excited for your product, is that you've kind of thought of all the little things. And the way you can do that is literally going and looking at all your competition's negative feedback, seeing what people don't like about the product, and then making sure that your product, you know, fills that requirement. Once again, look at listing photos and structure. So, you know, if they've, you know, if they've got a certain way they're doing things or something like that, definitely something that you want to, you know, definitely be aware of. If you can, you know, look at if they're using enhanced brand content, you know, just really take the time to look at your competitors' listings and figure out, you know, try to reverse engineer and see, you know, the things that they're doing, that's, you know, making them successful. You know, definitely something you want to do. All right. So, number four, something that you can do today, to really, make a big difference, with your Amazon business is traffic off of Amazon. There's so many businesses, countless number of businesses that are not utilizing offsite traffic. When you talk about offsite traffic, it's a very broad term. And some of the things that that you want to think about are influencers, so social media influencers. You know, some places you can find some social media influencers. Website called FameBit, that's for YouTube influencers. There's another one called Tomlinson. That's kind of all different types of all different kinds of social media influencers. There's a bunch of others, but those are just a few I'm going to mention. Google Ads, you know, you can set these up manually. We've seen really, really great success with Google Ads because so many Amazon sellers are so convinced that Facebook ads are, you know, are what's working and where you need to go. Facebook ads are getting really, really expensive. So we've seen better return on investment with Google Ads. Like I said, you can build those manually. If not, we have the Traffic Titan tool in Seller SEO, which actually lets you, which automates the process of building the campaigns, does your two-step URLs, suggests the keywords, does all those kinds of things. So it works really, really well to kind of automate the process for you. It takes process that would generally take, you know, hours down to minutes. So it's really powerful. But with Google Ads, what you're doing there is you're going, finding customers with high intent and they already trust Amazon. So, you know, if they're searching for water bottle on Google and they click through your two-step URL, they get dropped off at Amazon, and in your search results, they see that water bottle, they click on it, they buy, you get credit for that keyword. So, Google Ads are really effective for targeting and ranking keywords. Another kind of popular one right now is Messenger campaigns. We've done this and we've seen mixed results. The problem with Messenger campaigns and Facebook ads even is nowadays customers are so used to seeing Amazon sellers and e-commerce people giving massive discounts. 50% off or more. If you don't do that, it's going to be really hard to get traction. That being said, unless you have like a really, really highly sought after product or a product that can be demoed very easily with video, or something that's kind of cool. You know, if you're like, you have a pool float, say for example, it's that time of year, and you have a video of, attractive women in bikinis jumping into the thing and it's very visually appealing, then that might work well for a Messenger campaign or a Facebook ad or Instagram. Those platforms are much more visual. But if you have a boring product, you have like an office product or a toilet plunger or something like that, those types of ads are just not going to work on Facebook, the platform in general, meaning Facebook, Instagram, Messenger. That's where Google Ads really come into play and where you can, see get a lot better results on the Google Ads front. So with Messenger campaigns, the reason why a lot of people are using Messenger campaigns and why they're, pretty powerful is because, it's not a one-off interaction. Once they get into your Messenger flow, then you can go back, a couple weeks later and say, hey, we launched this new product. If it's related to the one previous, check it out. We can give you a discount, whatever. The Messenger campaigns are really effective doing that. Facebook ads, like I said, kind of in the same realm. If you got a visual product, or if you can tell a cool story, a good backstory, Facebook ads can work for you. Same thing with Instagram. Same kind of thing. If you've got a highly visual product, or something that you can tell a good story with, definitely use it. Video is in, and what we've seen is, and the next point you can see here is authentic is in. What we've seen is video is working much better than any other type of ad format, especially when you're talking, like I said, Messenger, Facebook, Instagram. The other thing is authentic. If people are seeing like super well done, polished videos, they're actually turned off by it because it looks like an ad. What people are really into is, a good example would be my buddy Barkus. I don't know if he was in a previous episode. He does a beard oil and he manufactures it, in his house. A cool video for that would be him like manufacturing it, and kind of telling his backstory on why he created the brand, how it's a small business, things like that. So, definitely something that you want to think about is, be authentic with what you're doing, and that will really, kind of show through and people will really resonate with that. So be authentic as possible. Last but not least, don't get banned. So if you guys have been seeing, I did a live on this yesterday. You guys, if you're in multiple, Facebook, Amazon seller groups, you've probably been seeing, people talking about getting banned. Now, Amazon this time of year always kind of, picks something to work on and then really hits it hard, reviews or, hijackers, things like that. They always kind of had this thing, on how to do those, I'm trying to think of the correct word here. The focus, they're just focusing on those and that's what they go after. So don't get banned. Because that's what they're focusing on right now. And the reason why people are getting banned rather than, what people think. A lot of people are saying, oh, well, people are doing discount promotions and getting banned and things like that. We haven't seen any of that. If you're doing a discount promotion, I even asked a contact at Amazon. He said, no, the only way you're going to get banned right now is if you're doing egregious amounts of promotions. So if you're giving away 200, coupons a day, you might raise some eyebrows at Amazon. If you're doing a reasonable amount, you know, of course, that they wouldn't give you that option. If, you know, if they didn't want you to do 90% off coupons, they wouldn't give you that option. So, you know, definitely something to think about. Now, the other way people are getting banned is by doing follow-up email sequences or follow-up messenger sequences. So, for example, they see an ad on Facebook. It says, hey, buy my water bottle. It's 50% off. Person buys the water bottle. Then they're in that messenger flow. And when they're in that messenger flow, you email them or you send a message 2 weeks later saying, hey, I know you bought my water bottle. Did you enjoy it? If so, leave a review. You can't do that. That's been a part of the TOS for years. It's just that people are now getting caught in this automation. So if you're going to send, messenger campaigns, make sure you segment those lists. So, you know, if you've got customers that are buying stuff at a discount, make sure you have a separate list that says like, customers that got discount. So that way, if you're giving them links for anything, you're not sending them to or asking them to leave reviews, because that's where you're going to get into hot water. Same thing with email follow-ups. If you're sending email follow-ups to those customers, and they're getting those follow-ups and they're asking, you're asking for a review, that's where you're really going to get into trouble. All right. Last but not least, build your brand. So your social media presence, what people don't realize is that, you need to build your social media presence. And you have to look at it as like planting a garden. So, you know, if you start now, 2 or 3 years from now, that those lists are just going to continue to grow and grow and grow. What people don't realize is once you have a social media following, you can sell anything, because now you have an audience that's built in. They trust you. They know you. They know you're knowledgeable in whatever, business or niche that you're in. So build that list, because that'll just, you know, pay dividends year over year over year. Followers are forever. And I have in parentheses here, usually, a lot of times the algorithms will change, like Facebook a couple of years ago, pushing everybody to get likes on their brand pages. And then they kind of just took away, any visibility for that at all. So, the way I like to see it is build your personal, social media, because that's much more likely to gain traction. And if they ever change the business side of things on these social networks, you'll still have a decent amount of followers on those personal, feeds and personal branding. Something, really big right now that people aren't doing or doing incorrectly is storytelling. If you've gotten to a certain place, like for me, I talk about, my software business and getting, seven figures and things like that, but people are going to go, okay, that's great. But how'd you get there? They want to know the story. They want to know, how you came up and, that you can start, with very little money and scale, or they want to know that they can do what you're doing. It's the same thing with a brand, going back to like being authentic. If you've got a product, I would say one of the best things that you can do is, if you use that product personally in your own life, or your friends and family use it or something like that, and you can tell a story like, hey, my brother-in-law is an avid bike rider. He uses our insulated water bottle on bike rides. He loves it. This is why he loves it. Do a little video of him maybe talking about it, things like that. You want to tell a story, and that way people will connect with you and also see that, you're authentic, you're a person. You're going to be able to, people are going to be able to see that you've got a family, you've got the same types of struggles, they're going to connect with you. So last but not least on building your brand, be better than the other guy. Make sure that customer satisfaction is extremely high up on your list. The reason that you want to do that is it's going to differentiate you from the other people. So the other brands. So, if you're very lenient on say like giving, giving discounts or, things like that, it's definitely something that, you really want to think about. And looks like somebody's unmuting themselves. So we're going to mute you guys. So be better than the other guy. Make sure that you're going above and beyond. Make sure that you're taking care of people. Make sure that you build a customer avatar to know who your customer is, and that way you'll know how to serve them the best. All right, guys. Sort of short today. We're only at 40 minutes, but we're calling this once again a Sell Roundtable Extra. because we're, you know, it's kind of a sub topic and we're not interviewing anyone today. So when you go to see the podcast, and if you guys are listening to the podcast, we would really, really appreciate you guys leaving a review, hopefully a positive one. We've actually gotten popular quickly, which is of course fantastic. We love that. But we're getting some trolls and we think some competition, you know, it's just like Amazon. And when competitors see that you're moving in on their space, they drop bombs on you. So we've been getting people, leaving us like anonymous, you know, lower star reviews. So we really, really appreciate it. If you guys go, it only takes a couple of minutes, whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on, leave a review. We'd really, really, really appreciate it if you're getting value out of this. And I'm going to open it up for questions. And if anybody's kind of, if I've touched on anything here that isn't, you know, completely clear, or, you know, something you want me to go more in depth on, please feel free to go ahead and ask. we've got some really cool, you know, stuff in the works, some keyword things, some new sourcing techniques. That's another thing I don't know if you've seen lately. You know, some of the SaaS companies in the Amazon space, software as a service companies, have been kind of battling it out over sourcing tools. I've been showing for a long time how sourcing tools are, or I've been saying for a long time how we don't use sourcing tools. Sourcing tools are extremely inaccurate. And that's why you're seeing all these people ending up with the same types of products in the same niche. And you know, going into all these really crowded spaces because they're doing research incorrectly. The way to research effectively is using keywords. You know, not using you know, a search where you're pulling up a popular search on Amazon and getting like a score from one of those softwares that says like, hey, source this product, you're going to make millions. Those sales estimates are wrong, and a lot of that data coming through is wrong. So you know, definitely. Change your mind on where you need to be for, you know, for how you're sourcing. And we'll go in more into depth, in that once, we are going to have some new tools coming online. That's, going to kind of help on that setup. All right. Nick's asking, is using automated emails through Feedback Genius to collect feedback and product review bad? I wouldn't say it's bad per se, but I would be afraid to use any service that's automated like that, that sucks customers in and then automatically emails them. Once again, the reason for that is, you know, if you've given that customer a discount and now they're getting an automated email saying, hey, you brought my product, come review it. You're breaking Amazon terms of service. And because they're really cracking down on that right now, I would be afraid to do email follow-ups. I know I've talked about this a lot of times before, but we don't use email follow-ups in our business. I look at it at a customer-centric point of view. If, you know, when I buy a ton of stuff on Amazon, and when I get stuff from Amazon, I hate those follow-up emails, so we don't do it. We do product inserts. We do, you know, the first 2 weeks of launch, we really do aggressive PPC. We do a lot of volume. You know, even sometimes we'll even put our price at break-even. And do, you know, some kind of like sales blitzes. And that way, you know, we're really getting a lot of volume so that those reviews will come in, early reviewer program as well. Same thing with like I talked about on the, follow-up campaigns. And actually I'm not sure why I'm still sharing my screen. Well, you guys can look at me now. All right. Yeah. Anything else guys about I talked about today? You know, some other things to think about, something we've kind of off the cuff, things that we've been using that we've seen work fairly well in terms of promotions on our products. We're going really deep into Pinterest. If you guys don't know, Pinterest is kind of a visual search engine, and it's kind of newer. You know, it's been around for quite a few years, but they just did an IPO, and there's a lot of traction. Kind of building for Pinterest. They now allow you to also link, have product links, similar to what Instagram released recently, where you can directly link to your products. And the cool thing is if you're, you know, if you're doing those, you know, getting all those kinds of free traffic back to your listing, that's also building backlinks. If you know anything about SEO, you're building backlinks, and that'll also help your organic rank on, you know, things like social media and Google, organic Google search. So really think about your Amazon product as a website and treat it the same way when it comes to organic SEO. You want to point as many links to it from around the web as possible. That will give you the most organic reach when it comes to Google search. You know, things like Facebook and things like that will see that page as more relevant and give it more attention. Can you use the HTML tags in bullet points? I haven't checked that recently, but you were in the past, that's never been an option. What you can use in bullet points are something called UTF-8 characters or emojis. You know, you'll go to some listings sometimes and you'll see like little happy faces or, you know, things like that. Let me see if I can find one. The way that, Amazon does search now, let's see if I can expand this. Yeah, well, I can't find one really quickly, but you can use, if you just go to Google and search, search UTF-8 emojis, then then you'll be able to see all those all the bullet points with those UTF characters in them. As I tell people, use caution, because what can happen is technically it could be against terms of service. There's a lot of debate on that. We see it a lot. We've never heard of anybody getting banned or in trouble for that. So I leave that up to you guys. You know, whether you think it's a risk or not, and whether you want to use it or not. We have used it in some of our listings, and we haven't had any issues yet. So that's the only kind of tidbit I can share from our point of view on that. All right, guys. Anything else? All right. Well, it looks like there's no other questions. Next week, I believe, let me see. I think we have Lyron as a guest next week. And I believe Amy is back next week as well. So we should have a normal full-length seller roundtable. And yeah, we look forward to that. We also have some other cool, really great guests that we're lining up for you guys in the next few weeks. If there's anything that you guys really want us to cover more, you know, once again, just let us know. If you're in our either Amy or my Facebook group, mine is Amazon FBA Titans. Hers is Amazing at Home. If you're searching Amazon FBA Titans, there's some guy who created a lookalike group. So don't join that one. Make sure that you see my ugly mug in the group header to know that that it's the right group. Yeah, if you can post in that group, you know, things that you want to hear or things you want us to cover. Okay, we actually got another question, so that's great. Have you done one of these on keywords and finding products? Not sure what you mean, Wendy. Are you talking about the new way of researching using keywords? Yes, that is the only way that we are researching products right now. Sometimes we will, we'll look at some other tools for verification. So if we got, oh, this looks like a strong thing, then we'll look at, some other tools like our Chrome extension and, some of the other sourcing tools just to verify that our data is correct or, you know, it seems correct. But there have been times recently where I found really, really strong products using keywords. And then I go look at a sourcing tool, which I won't name, that was way off. It had the, whatever their score is, I forget what the score is, but the score was like a four or whatever. But looking at all the other data, it was definitely an extremely strong product. Just use a lot of caution when you guys are using those tools. Don't, take, the data as being, completely correct. Make sure that you're, checking all the other boxes when it comes to, doing your sourcing. So checking things like cost of PPC, things like, competition, how many results there are, how many other sellers are selling a similar product, how strong listings there are, if they have crappy listings or if they're highly optimized, how many reviews. I mean, there's so many different data points that you can look at. You know, at some point, maybe I'll create a PDF or something like a sourcing PDF to maybe help you guys, like a step by step, all the data points that you should check before selecting a product. Amy and I are actually, you know, we have a training coming up in the next, I think we decided that we're going to release in June or July. I can't remember exactly when. But anyway, in that training, we're really, really excited because we're, it's going to be something that's going to really help you guys, you know, get going on your Amazon business. If you haven't started yet, if you have started, it's going to really kind of give you some structure, and really help you guys, you know, get to the point where your Amazon business is going to succeed. All right. Looks like we're done for. Thank you again, Wendy. Really appreciate it, guys. Once again, if I know that everybody asks you this, but it really would make a huge difference for us if you do get value out of this. Just take a minute or two, and especially on iTunes, go in and rate. I'm not an Apple guy. Well, actually, I'm an Apple / PC / Android guy. So, you know, whatever platform you're on, if you could really leave us a review, really, really, really appreciate that. Also, like I said, reach out to us and let us know what you guys want us to cover. A lot of times we're guessing, and it would be great to know exactly what you guys want. Drop them in the comments here or in our Facebook group or even in the review that you leave on iTunes. Say, you know, hey, like, this is great, but we'd love to hear more of whatever. We look at all those things. And yeah, I mean, we are trying to keep you up to date on all the latest trends and things happening as well. So, you know, that's always good stuff to have. All right, guys. Well, that is it. And, Nick's asking, do we handle any optimization for clients? We do actually. We have an agency as well. So if you guys want, you know, we manage offsite traffic, ranking, PPC, building listings. We kind of have a do it all, you know, where you hire us to kind of do everything from A to Z. We can do product verification. Like if you've got a product and you're not sure if it's going to be successful, you can hire us to do research on that. We kind of have all of that, all of those kinds of services. Sellerseo.com/shop. If you want to check those services out, Amy, has those types of services as well. Amazingathome.com, I believe, is her website. So you can go and check her offerings out as well. Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you once again. And we'll see you next time. Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning in. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for live Q&A and bonus content after the recording at SellerRoundtable.com. Sponsored by the ultimate software tool for Amazon sales and growth, SellerSEO.com and AmazingAtHome.com.